work. Praise God. Would you stand with me again? We're bringing Pastor Greg Glover to the pulpit, believing the Lord to do a work through him. Amen. In the powerful word of the Lord. The word of God is alive and powerful, and we want him to minister.
Go ahead and be seated. Thank you so much for all the kindness you've shown my parents. I appreciate you celebrating their 30 years here. It's been a honor to see how honored they've been, and I really do thank you and appreciate what kind of a church this is. Appreciate your pastor, and that you have been blessed with a fantastic pastor and pastor's wife. Amen. True shepherds, and they care, and they answer the phone, and they go to the hospitals, and they pray, and they guard, and they guide, and they've been doing it for a long time, a very long time, and their hearts are in it. And I'm so thankful for the pastor you have, but I'm very, very thankful for the honor that you have shown them. So John 19, if you have your Bibles, would stand. Reading of God's holy word behind this sacred desk. I have no idea why they call it a sacred desk. It's a standing desk, number one. I don't want a standing desk. But it's a sacred desk. I guess it's something that you say. I don't know where it's from, but it's a sacred desk. It's a pulpit. That's what it is. Otherwise, where's my seat? Or my ball, or whatever, whatever the kids use these days. John 19:19. Pilate wrote a title, and he put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Praise God. You go ahead and be seated. Let me take this off. If you look at chapter 20 of the book of John, it lays out, I've got Mike's precious Bible here because my portion of John doesn't really exist. It looks like somebody chewed on it and ate on it. And it's just a misunderstanding of what it means to feed on God's word. And I didn't realize till later that's not what it meant. But it tells you here the purpose of this book. John says, verse number 30, it says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, here's the entire purpose of the book, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. That's the entire purpose of this book here. He even says that there's so many other things at the end of chapter 21 that could be written if they were written. He said even the world could not contain the books that should be written. Think about that. And so he says, I've chosen these. Ultimately, there's seven signs in the book of John that he chooses out of so many that he says that this world, I suppose, the world wouldn't even be able to hold all the books. So this is a very, very well put together gospel. It's written, literally is written after most of the disciples, apostles are already dead, martyred. It's close to the 90s in the AD years, second to last book that's written in the entire New Testament. Revelation being the last, also written by John. This is written right before the book of Revelation. And he said, the purpose of this book is that you can read it and have faith and belief in his name. And then in his name, you have life. And so, when you start to look in this book about the name that we're talking about, Bible tells us there was a boy, a child that was born. An angel said, remember, an angel said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, from their sins. That's Israel. That's not global, that's Israel. We're going to call his name Jesus. Jehovah has become salvation. That is the name. We sang a song that said, Jehovah Jireh. That's the first time that Jehovah and something else come into existence in a name. Up on a mountain, Abraham said, I'm going to call this place Jehovah Jireh. It shall be seen on the mount of the Lord. Bible said even to that day, Moses' time, that it was said, Jehovah Jireh, on the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That's the first time that Jehovah and something else come together. And generally, if you could crank me up, I feel like it's a little quiet up here for me. You don't have to crank it up out there, but hello, somebody. There you go. Thank you. It's when somebody needs something that you have another part of Jehovah show up. That's why when there is a need for victory, Jehovah Nissi, he comes, Exodus 17, when you need a miracle of healing, Exodus 15, Jehovah Rapha. On and on it goes. Jehovah, something else. This final revelation is Jehovah something else again, but it's Jehovah salvation. And understand that when you say the name Jesus, you're talking about a particular thing that's going to happen. Ultimately, that is the purpose. He is going to take away the sins of his people. Dying for the sins of Israel, he comes to be their Messiah. But what is so interesting is that he says in this book, if you want to look at it, John chapter 5 and verse 43, he says, I have come in, not with, I was not, I have come in my Father's name. My Father's name. And so, he's not talking about the name he was given at birth. He's talking about everything that's going to be revealed in the book of John. Ultimately, to get to what he's talking about, you've got to go to the very first verse of the Bible. And that is, in the beginning was the Word. That's the first verse of the Bible. If you're going to look at it chronologically, John 1:1 is the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. And so if we're going to find who we're talking about in the book of John, you don't start with a baby that's born 30 years ago or 33 years ago. You don't start with a baby born to Mary and Joseph. You start all the way back before there was an earth. In the beginning was the Word. So you start to realize that this God that we're talking about here today is much greater than just one name. It's much greater than the name of Jesus. Jesus has been born. That name is meant to die for sins. Without that, we are literally without hope. If Jesus doesn't come and die for our sins, we can never pay our sins debt off. So we are going to forever be stuck in sin. So he came for sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God. That's Jesus. But when he says, I am come in my Father's name, it's huge. He's not talking about I've just come for salvation. He's not talking about, hey, I'm walking in the authority that you're going to find in the final Jehovahistic title. He's not talking about that at all. Because the Bible tells us when he says, I am come in my Father's name, he says, it is written of me. It's written of me. Moses wrote of me. Did he write about Jesus? Well, Moses is the first one to name Jesus, Jesus. Moses is the first one to utter that name. He named Joshua, Joshua. He changed the name of somebody that was not his son. But he changed the name of Joshua to Joshua. That's Jesus in the New Testament. Moses is the first one to pronounce that name. He wrote of me is what he said. But that's not all Moses wrote about. Moses also wrote about before there was an Abraham. Matter of fact, he says, let me tell you who I am. Before Abraham was. Before Abraham was. So if you're before Abraham was, you're well before Moses was. And if you're before Abraham was, then you're starting to see something greater, deeper than just one person who's living in time. Jesus is living in time, but he's saying, I'm coming in something that was before Abraham. People say, how in the world, you're not even 50 years old. It's a couple, probably 1,000 years that you're talking about if you're going to be claiming you're before Abraham. You're not even 50 years old yet, and you're telling us that before Abraham was, well, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And so we got to start understanding what he's talking about here. When we talk about when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, when we come in the name of Jesus Christ, or when we say in the name of Jesus Christ, what are we saying? How much force are we talking about? How much dominion are we talking about? How much glory, really, are we talking about? I'll tell you exactly how much glory we're talking about. It's greater than the New Testament, and it's greater than an individual's life that lived 33 years. It's greater than, if you read in the book of 2 Samuel, David. It's greater than even Moses, and it's greater than Jacob, and greater than Abraham. You got to keep going back, back, back. There's revelation how God created the world, but you still got to keep on going back there, because the one, when we say Jesus Christ, he is the one who created this entire planet. Before there was a world, there was the Word. So you're talking about something that I come in my Father's name. There's a force to that. Let me try to say it so you can understand. Look at John 18. They say, we're coming for Jesus. In verse number 5, Jesus said, whom seek you? Verse 4, verse 5, Jesus of Nazareth. Judas is there with them. Look at what Jesus says to them in verse number 5. I am. He isn't there in the Bible. It's added. I am. Period. What happens? The scripture said they went backwards and fell to the ground. That'll change whatever game plan you had when you came. When somebody says, I am, and doesn't hold back a little bit. I mean, he lets the veil, if you will, open up a little bit and say, let me show you when you come for me who you're really coming for. And he says, I am. Boom. They fall backwards. Plans are going to change. And the scripture said that when they fell backwards, they stood back up. He said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Then he says, I've told you that I'm he. But if you seek me, let these go their way. Yeah. Talking about his disciples. Yeah. And look at this verse number 9, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I've lost none. When did he speak that? Turn back one chapter, John chapter 17. He's in this moment of prophetic utterance. And he says in verse number 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I've kept. None of them is lost. That's when that scripture is fulfilled, is when he says, are you ready for this? I am. But he doesn't filter it through flesh. He said, boom, Father's name, I am. And the Bible said they all fell backwards, all of them, boom, the army, Judas, whoever was in that crowd. Now they're not worried about holding on to disciples. It was the Father's name, boom, that he kept his disciples in and with. He did not say, I am Jesus. He said, I am. Boom. What in the world are you talking about when you say I am? That's the one that Exodus 3:14, Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell him I am that I am. Sent you. Tell them I ain't. Tell them that you cannot label me. You cannot keep me down to one identity. You cannot. I was known to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. I was not known to them as Jehovah. As awesome as they were, they didn't get to see what Moses was getting ready to see. And once he gets the name of Jehovah, that's still not all he is, because first of all, he says, I will be what I will be. I am what I am. I am that I am. That's the one who in the beginning willed light into existence. He willed it. Boom. Let there be light. That's the one that in the beginning the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters, and he willed light into existence. And he looked at that light and he said, that's good. That's good. What are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about myself. I revealed and released myself. When I said, let there be light, that was me. That's good. I want you to know it doesn't matter anything else wrong with the world. If the I am that I am says light is good, darkness has no power to make it negative, bad. It doesn't have power to change what the Lord God Almighty thinks about. Amen. That's why when he shows up and he tells somebody, oh, you want to know who I am? I am the light of the world. Whoa, now you're talking about something that starts to make sense when you think about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything was created by him. Without him, nothing exists. And the Bible tells us he has life, and that life is light to men. His life is in his light. Once you've got light, the light's got life. And he tells everybody, I want you to know what the Father's name is. I am the light of the world. That's a revelation that John said, if you could start to understand, you do not limit this name that we've been given to 33 years and a resurrection. But this was he that was in the beginning. This is he that was before there was a devil. This is he that took dominion over death, hell. This is he who is almighty. There's beside him no other God. He said, I looked for one. I couldn't find one. I even went looking for another God. Yea, there's none beside me. He said, I lift up my hand to heaven and I swear I am the one who kills and gives life. I'm the one who wounds and heals. And so John's saying, when you start talking about this name, he does not say I'm Jesus in this book. But he's going to reveal himself seven I ams. Seven I ams. I want you to see here. That passage of scripture that we read, so important to notice that Pilate says, are you king? He said, are you asking because you want to ask? He said, am I a Jew? Do I care? I'm asking because I want to know. There's a reason why you want to know, Pilate. You're feeling something, aren't you? You're feeling something, Pilate. Are you king or not? He said, you said it. You said it. That's enough for Pilate. He says, all right. I find nothing wrong with him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. At least this moment where Pilate writes a title on the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, written in those three different languages. The acronym would spell out the Jehovah. The four letters that make up a name that does not exist. A name that was lost because they would not speak it. A name that was unutterable because they were so afraid of speaking that name, they lost that name. That name means nothing. Jehovah, big deal. It's on the cross because it's there to be crucified. Everything on the cross is there to die, including an unutterable name. Because if I do not know the name, I do not know the person behind the name. It does not make sense for me to continue worshiping a God that nobody knows his name. When you see Jehovah in the Old Testament, it's that tetragrammaton that's got four vowels. You cannot pronounce it. And what happened is, whenever they went into Babylonian captivity, they made a change that only the priest could speak that name. After a while, the priests weren't even speaking that name. By the time you get to the New Testament, there isn't even a legal priest to be found. It's political, not by birth, not because you're a child of Aaron, but because you are political and you paid your way there or however it is, but you have multiple high priests now, a corrupt priesthood, and there's going to be a moment here that they see that unutterable name being crucified and taken away with the body of Jesus. And they say, you didn't write it right. They said, you got to put, I am King of the Jews. There's just one huge problem with that. You can't kill I am. If you put I am next to that, he can't die. You've got to put King of the Jews. You cannot put the one who is before time and say he's going to die. He cannot die. You cannot attach I am to that powerful identity, King of the Jews. You cannot kill the one who's created all things. You cannot kill life itself. How can you kill life itself who is getting ready to die to make death live? You cannot kill somebody who says, I am resurrection. You can't kill that, can you? You can't kill someone who says, I am resurrection and the life. You cannot kill that kind of a name. I hate to break it to you guys, but you aren't going to be able to put I am on the cross. You can put Jehovah, the tetragrammaton that nobody knows what it even means. Nobody knows how to pronounce it. What kind of a glorious name would that be for us if we knew there was power in it? We just didn't know what it was. How do you say it? Nobody knows how to say it. And here it is on the Calvary, not because it's a great identity of oneness, because God's taking it out of the way. The reason why he's taking it out of the way is he's fully revealing to the church who he is in the name of Jesus Christ. He's fully manifesting himself to us so that we know what the name above every name is. But you can't put I am there. Right, I am there. He's never going to die. He said, what I've written, I've written. But I want you to know that I am can never be King of the Jews. Who are the Jews? Who are the Jews? The name Jews, who are they? They're not God's people. Israel is. And when Nathanael identifies him in chapter 1, he says, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. You better know that's who he is. He is the king of a people that he's identified with so much. He created them. He created them by telling a barren individual, you are going to bring forth so many children. They're going to be like the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. He's the one who made everything that is Israel, Israel. He's not King of the Jews. Who are the Jews? That aren't his people. His people is Israel. King of Israel. What do they say when he starts coming in the name of the Lord? Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel, who's coming in the name of the Lord. He's King of Israel, or he's King of nothing. But go ahead and crucify the King of a people group. That's exactly what's happening. He'll never again be king of one people. He'll never again be limited to one people. When you start looking at the Gospels, you're looking at a God who limited himself to a people. He said, I'm after the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I've been sent for. It's rare that he has contact with Gentiles. When he does, it's explosive. I've not seen faith like that in all of Israel, because they don't have the background and the baggage, and they don't have the idea that they know who this is. When you've got Gentiles coming to the Lord Jesus, it's because they have nowhere else to go, and they've heard about somebody who's got power over whatever it is that they've got a need in. And he says, I've not seen faith like that. But it's Israel he's after. Limiting himself to a people. So when you see about this God, you know, verse 1 through verse 18 is the prologue or the introduction of the book of John. It's from experience. So here, it's not the beginning. He's talking about, it's the prologue to this book. It's giving you an idea of who we're talking about when you start talking about glory and you start talking about all the things that he's talking about in John chapter number 1, 1 through 18. It's not a part of the book itself. It's like the prologue, the section all by itself. But there's a witness. And the first witness is, are you the Christ? That's what they're worried about, because he's everything. The Christ is everything we've been looking for. They don't say, are you a prophet? They said, are you the Christ? That's who we're looking for. These people, the Jews, as they call themselves, or Israel, as God would look upon them, they are looking for the Christ. And he confesses and he denies not. This is John. He says, I am not the Christ. But there's somebody that comes standing with John. John says, behold the Lamb, pointing to Jesus. And the Bible said that two people leave John and start walking after Jesus. He says, what? They say, where do you live? He says, come and see. You'll see that what seekest thou at the end of John turns into who seekest thou. Because that's what John's doing. He's bringing you from a what to a who. What seekest thou to a who seekest thou. Because when you speak the name, it's not a what, it's a who. It's a person. And the Bible tells us the person that we are talking about is the complete character of the Almighty God. Literally, the express image of his person. In a name. In a name that has no extras. Jesus Christ will not have extra dash Jireh dash Nissi. Jesus Christ is it until the age is over. This is that name for the kingdom. This is that name for this day, this hour, this moment. That's not all he is, obviously. It's all he is to the earth. But you can't limit this person here to a what. You got to get to a who. And you can't stop at come and see, which is what Jesus says to the two disciples. You've got to get all the way to chapter 21, come and dine. That's the change that'll take place when you go from a what to a who. It's come and see and come and dine. And don't you want to be a partaker of this divine nature? Don't you want to walk in the name that's above every name? Don't you want to say, I come in the name of the Father. I come to you in the name of my dad. Praise God. And so there's one named Andrew, whose brother's name Simon. He comes to him. This is John chapter number 1, verse 38, 39, 40. He goes to get his brother, 41. He tells him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. Andrew's something else. Andrew's the second disciple, one of the first two, so maybe he's the first, but him and John, first two disciples. His brother is Simon, who the Lord says, no, you're not Simon. Because that's what's happened when you come into the presence of Messiah. You're not Simon, but you're going to be Peter. Thou art Simon, but you're going to be Peter. Immediately begins to change people's identity based off that identity of him as Christ. They don't care about anything else at this point in time. They're saying, we've been looking for Christ. In the world is the anointed one. That's who we've been hoping for. That's who we've been looking for. And Andrew said, I found him. You know he found him, because he brings first, I got to go get Simon, You know you found Christ. You know you found Messiah. When you go first, get your brother, and you bring him to Messiah. And there's a name change automatically prophesied over your brother. But there's something about knowing the power of Messiah that causes you first to stop and get somebody into the presence of Messiah, because you know the power of that God to change a future. That power, that anoint. Here's my example here, John 6. Man, I love yelling. I just literally love yelling. Man, I could definitely preach quieter. I just never want to, because I just love to yell. Look at all these people. Bible says in John 6 that he knew what he was going to do. But he asked Philip, how are we going to feed these people? He's like, what? 5,000 people. 5,000 men. And Philip says, we have 200 penny worth. Bible said he asked him knowing what he was going to do. He knew what he was going to do. I want to talk to you about somebody who knows Messiah. He knows what he's going to do. And Philip's like, oh my goodness, what are you talking about? How are you putting that on me? This is overwhelming. Yeah. This is impossible. Yeah. We could get us a couple of loaves. Sorry about that. We get a couple of loaves. Right? 200 penny worth. It's not sufficient. One of his disciples. Who? Oh, my goodness. You know, there's an inner circle of individuals named Simon Peter, James, and John. And originally, Andrew was a part of that. And these people get insight and inside information, but it just doesn't seem like Andrew needs it anymore. They don't get it. Andrew got it from the beginning. He's the first one to say, I found the Christ. He's the very first one to say, you want to know the revelation we've been looking for? I just met him. I just met him. And so, 200 penny worth, 5,000, maybe 20,000 people all said and done. Here comes Andrew. Here's a lad. I brought him to you with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are they? You remember he gets his brother first? Who knows Simon's condition? We know he falls on his face. He's like, I'm a sinner. Everybody does that. We don't know what he was. We know who he became. We know he was number one. He's the one that God said, you're the top of the 12, the head of the 12. How in the world does Andrew first stop and get his brother Simon? After he meets Christ, if he doesn't already know something going on with Christ and him. And he brings his brother to Christ and he says, thou shalt be Peter. You are nothing but Simon, but thou shalt be a rock. And all of a sudden he brings a lad with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he said, tell us what they are. What are they among so many? And you know what Christ said? He said, enough.
That's right.
That's what Christ said. He said, make them sit down. We're getting ready to have dinner. Only somebody who's got a revelation of who Christ is would make a move like that. And I want you to know that he already knew what he was going to do. He already knew that was going to happen. How in the world did Andrew know about it? I don't know. I just know there was a connection between him and Christ. And if Andrew shows up, something powerful is getting ready to bust loose. Oh, he don't preach a message. You don't hardly see him in the book of Acts at all. But you've got somebody you don't got to highlight, because he's highlighting Jesus Christ. He's got that revelation. My life has been changed forever. And I know anything insufficient becomes sufficient in the hands of Christ.
What are they?
What are they? He said, enough. Make them sit down. We're getting ready to have a miracle. Yeah, he knew that. Yeah. Philip's like, I have no idea, because you don't got a revelation of who he is, do you? Yeah. You know Philip doesn't, because he's like, well, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Appreciate the sufficeth. That's very powerful. How long you been with me, Philip? You don't know me? He that has seen me hath seen the I am. He that has seen me has seen the name. Don't get caught up looking at the flesh. I'm the Christ. I am the, in the beginning was the Word. I'm the,
amen.
You, when you don't know who he is, you act like Philip. When you know who he is, you're Andrew. Man, you just skip another couple of pages to chapter 12. Here comes another thing, because here comes the Gentiles.
Sirs, we would see Jesus.
And Philip's like, I made this mistake last time. I made this mistake last time. I know that Greeks aren't supposed to be a part of this. They came to worship at the feast, John 12, 20. The same came to Philip. We would see Jesus. What's Philip do? He cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And look at what he says now. First time he said this. He goes, the hour is come. The Son of Man should be glorified. He's been saying, my hour's not yet. My hour's not yet. My hour is not yet, but when they start bringing Gentiles to me. How in the world do you know that, Andrew? He's king of the Jews, because I know the anointed. I've learned to not identify or label people hungry for this Christ, because he's the one that tells them who they are. And so if I bring them to him, what happens? You kick off Calvary. He goes, it's time. Think about that. He says, woo, the hour's come, except the corn of wheat die, going to the ground. He that loveth his life, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he says, all right, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. I have both glorified it. And I will glorify it again. And we're on our way to Calvary now. When you go past chapter 13, now it's the glory section. When you go from chapter 13 to the end, it's the glory section. Done with the signs. Done with the revelation of the I am. It's now the glory section. And when you look from the beginning and the middle and the end, there's one person by the name of Andrew who's a nobody when you talk about history. But he's everybody when you talk about the name. He's everybody when you talk about revelation. And if there's going to be a big move on the earth, we don't need a preacher. We need an Andrew. We need people who are walking in the glory of that name. We need people. I wish I could get a voice. Hallelujah. I thank God for Peter's preaching. And I thank God for John's love for God. But we need Andrews. You don't read about in the book of Acts. But everything's happening because of their revelation of who he is. Praise God. Christ. If I be lifted up from the earth, that's Calvary. I'm going to draw. I'm going to draw them into me. I want you to look. Chapter 10. He says, I'm the good shepherd here. But they say to him, how long, verse 24, do you make us to doubt? If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He's standing on Solomon's porch. If you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you, and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. doing those works? My Father's name. That's not saying in the name of Jesus. That's not saying in the name of anything. I think it's important when you start to look at how he dealt with devils. Because you do never see him say, in Jesus' name. You never see him say, in the name of anything. Because he is the name. He's walking in it. They tell him who he is. Ah, I know who you are. You're the Holy One. You're the Son of the Most High. They even say, you're the Christ. And he says, shut your mouth. After a while, he refused to let them talk because they kept revealing who he was too fast. Everybody else would come up to devils and adjure them in a name. Even Paul, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ. Not him. Because he's walking in it. He's coming in the full force of it. He's living in what the Word says about him. Because that's part of the name. It's the full revelation from the book of Genesis all the way to where he is in time. The full revelation of what the Bible says about him. Everything David sang about him. Everything Isaiah spoke about him. Everything the prophets have said about him. I'm in all of it. I'm in all of it. John, who are you? He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That's exactly how you bear witness. That's exactly how you bear witness to the light. You find your identity in the Word of God. The Bible says who I am. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. When you're walking in your Father's name, it is written of me. He said, you don't believe the works. And then he tells them, I and my Father are one. They really like that. He meets a woman. I don't have time to go through everything about I ams. There are seven of them, though, that are main I ams along with the seven signs. I am the vine. I am resurrection and life, followed by I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what the resurrection and the life, they're the way, truth, life. And he says, it's me, I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So he's talking here as a man, right? That's going to die. A man that's going to die. That person right there is not the Father. But the name he's walking in, not the name he was given from a human being, but the name he's walking in is the Father. The Father is the Spirit. God is Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. That's him speaking to a woman from Samaria. And the Bible tells us, she says, we know that when Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. And he says, the first I am in the book of John, he speaks. The one time other than Mark 9:41, he identifies as Christ. He says, I am. He that speaks to you, I that speak to you, am. She's like, been married how many times? Runs to the city. Says, I met a man that told me everything I ever did. Isn't that a bad thing? No. Not if he's still in your life. Not if he didn't go running from the fact that you got five husbands and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Not the one that just spoke that to you and revealed himself anyway. That don't sound to me like somebody you want to run away from. That sounds like somebody you want to run to. And she says, I met a man. He told me everything I've ever done. Is this not the Christ? And they say, I mean, could be. Could be. The Bible said some people believed it was by her words. Never would happen if she hadn't really met the Christ. If she had not really met the I am. And the first time he says it in John's Christ. She drops that water pot, goes running off to the city. And the Bible said, next thing you know, here she comes. And all the city's coming with her. And the Bible said the entire city has the same exact testimony. He is the Christ. And they say more than that, he's the Savior of the world. Oh, my. That sounds like Joseph to me. That sounds like the name of Jacob's son to me. You're the Savior of the world. They identified the Christ as their Savior. World. John did too, 1 John 4:14, the only other time. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's not afraid to reveal himself. Can I have some water? He says, "Who? You're a Jew. That's first identity. Then she calls him Lord. Then she calls him prophet. Then she calls him, I'm looking for Messiah. And then she says, the Christ. She goes from, we've got a problem with each other in this relationship, to full revelation. How fast did that take and what did she do to earn that? Nothing. Nothing at all. He showed up to one of Jacob's daughters. I feel Holy Ghost now. I want you to know, he said, I got to go to Samaria. Why are you going to Samaria? He's telling everybody that wants to hear, I owe Jacob something. All right. Where is it at? Shechem. What happened at Shechem? Dinah gets raped at Shechem. And she asks him, are you greater than our father Jacob? Because as powerful as he was, he couldn't save Dinah from that. Oh, man alive, I just kind of feel a whole lot of Holy Ghost right now. Are you greater than the father that dug this well for us? He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, there's a what? But there's a who. He's not going to get into the details with Jacob. There is no competition there. He's Jacob's God. I am the God of Jacob. I am the God of Jacob. He is the I am of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He is already greater than Jacob. But what this woman's wanting to know is, I've been married 5 times. I'm with the 6th one. Are you here for women? I think he owes Jacob something. I believe there's some payback coming to Jacob's children. Because why are you going to this place and waiting on a woman who's got this kind of a reputation coming to this well, and you're going to choose to reveal yourself as Christ first to this woman here that's coming to a well at Samaria? I want you to know, Jacob could not protect Dinah, and he could not change her story. But you better know, I'm greater than Jacob. I'm greater than giving. I'm not digging you a well. I am a well of living water, and I'm going to put it inside of you, and it will be a well springing up into everlasting life. Come on, somebody. There's something about getting vindication by the Savior called Jesus Christ that changes your story forever. Forever. Praise God. They say he's the Savior of the world. And not much good happens for Dinah. She gets raped. The boys fight, kill, slaughter. That happened, that's good for a minute, a day, 2 days.
but it doesn't last. That's not vindication when you can't change what happened. I want you to know about a God, my friend. When you walk in the name of Jesus Christ, I do not care your story. I don't care what happened in your life. There's something he's going to put in you, not dig for you. That's something great. Thank you, Jacob, for digging us a well. But aren't you thankful for Jesus Christ who said, I'll put a well inside of you where you won't ever have to go anywhere and get anything from anybody. It will be a well of water springing up. Oh, my goodness, what that does to that woman is shocking. From the skeptical worldview of weak Jews and Jews and Samaritans hate each other. How in the world are you a Jew asking me a Samaritan? From that kind of a view to the unveiling of her story to running back to the city. And telling the men, look at that.
Good night.
Telling the men, I met a man. But let me tell you about this man. He told me everything I ever did. And he told me to go get my husband and come back to him. I don't have a husband. But I'm speaking to all the men. The one I'm living with now is not my husband. You're right. Go get your husband. Come back. Here she comes with the entire town. Good night. What kind of a testimony can change somebody with a reputation for either being easy or not a very good cook? They're either dying, she's either poisoning them, or she's been with a bunch of guys. She doesn't have any kind of morals, and all of a sudden, she can say something about a name. All she does is say Christ, and that city comes running. How in the world is that kind of a woman going to have that kind of influence? It's not the woman, it's the name that she speaks. It's the power of Christ. When you put Christ in the mouth of a woman who's got no men sticking up for her, at the very bare minimum, there's not a man standing up for her. They've left her. I'm with the sixth one, and he's not even committed to me. I want you to know it ain't easy back in those days. If you're going to be critical, it's not easy. Back in Bible days for a woman. Once her husband dies, if she don't have sons taking care of her, she's in trouble. If there's any woman without a man in her life, she's vulnerable. And so maybe that caused her to do what she's doing, and who knows what she's doing. The Bible just says 6-1, not her husband. But here she's got Christ, and she goes running. And the Bible tells us she don't go get a man because she's done with the sixth man, right? She's done with the one she's with, and she's got a voice now where somebody was speaking for her. I don't know who spoke against her, but when you look at Christ, he stays in it with her. Who are you? I want you to know he's not afraid of you. He's not afraid of how you start. Some of you come to him with fear. Don't let that stop you. Some of you come to him with anger. Don't let that stop you. You're not going to run him off. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to manifest himself. And the more you talk, the greater he gets.
Praise God.
Bible says that they all say he's Christ, the whole town. And then the scripture says he goes back to the place where the Bible said he made water, wine. He tells them when they're asking him, like, prove yourself. And we don't have time, obviously, but he says, I'm the one that's been speaking from the beginning. I am who I told you from the beginning. Beginning was water made wine. He said, I'm going to put water in you. I make live. But I don't just make it live, I make it live everlasting. That's what he told the woman. But here at a wedding, the scripture says he made water wine. He was revealed in chapter 1 in the water. John said, the one who sent me to baptize did so, so I could reveal him to Israel. He was going to get manifest in baptism. They're out of wine. It's not my problem. She looks at the servant and says, whatever he says. You got to learn how to talk to Jesus Christ. What in the world? What do I have to do with it? Like Jeff Glover said, I'm getting ready. You just get a hint of expectation. He's like, God Pickard, ain't my time. Go fill these earthen vessels with water, obviously from a well. They fill them to the brim. Water. He tells the servants, draw it out, bring it to the governor. It's still water. Brings it to the governor. Pours it out in his glass. When he does that, it becomes wine. 6 pots of water. It's one thing, isn't it? When it's all done. But when it's on demand, when it's on demand, every time it's turning into wine, every time it's boom like that. And that right there, that boom like that, that's not that easy. Because what you've got to do is you've got to take that water and you've got to change its story. Its source was a well. Now its source has got to change to fruit. It's not enough to have grapes that are crushed. That's something right there, but it's not enough. If you're going to have the wine that this guy says is the best, then it's got to be vintage. So you've got to go back a few years. You've got to throw in a perfect process. Everything about water changes when he pours it out. Let me tell you. They didn't know where it came from, but the Bible said the servants knew. The servants knew it came from his word. The servants knew it came from his word. Came nowhere else. It wasn't a program or a process. It was a person who said, pour it out. We did it in his work. Boom. I wonder what he could do with your story. I wonder what he could do with your life. If he could take something. That's what. I want you to know that's what he does with the water. He puts life in the water. When you're baptized into the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible said you're buried into his death, baptized into his death, and we rise to walk with him in newness of life. Good night. That means I go to the governor, basically. And I get in the water, and I come out, and I'm a brand new creation. Woo! He said that's the beginning of his manifested glory. Did you know that? Did you know that when you were baptized into the name of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you a timeline real quick, and I'm done. Stand with me. Just stand with me. The Bible says that he was buried. He died
according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again, according to the scriptures. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. See, that's the same thing. Buried, rose again. The Bible says that Acts chapter 2, verse number 33, he got the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. That's the gift. It's not the Holy Spirit as far as like the divine nature of God. It's just a part, first fruits of the Spirit. 40 days after his resurrection, he pours that out. Death, burial, resurrection is all baptism into the name of Jesus Christ, where he's immediately, boom, exalted, anointed, enthroned. You roll away the stone, no one's in there. They're like, they're just clothes in there. What in the world happened? All of a sudden, the Bible said, somebody said, what are you weeping for? Woman says, tell me where you've carried him. He says, who are you seeking? Tell me where you've carried him. She says, Mary. He says, Mary. She says, Master. There he is. She thought he was the gardener. All of a sudden, nobody can recognize him. Because it's a different. Are you ready? It's a different name. It's a different name now. Baptism is the death, burial, resurrection. The resurrection is not the Holy Ghost. The resurrection is in the name. Remember, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He never said, I am the Spirit. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Then he says, after I'm up, I'm going to send another comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. The gift of the Holy Ghost, he pours it out. Acts chapter 2, verse 33, he's already exalted, he's already made king, already made Lord, already anointed, death, burial, resurrection, into the name of Jesus Christ. Then you receive the Holy Ghost, which is your drinking. The same Spirit that resurrected him from the dead is what's bringing us up out of the water, according to the Scripture. Same Spirit. And then we're baptized into one body. That body is massive. The Bible said it's the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's all the way back before Genesis. All the way to the ending. Boom! I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We are baptized into that body. When you talk about the body of Christ, you're baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. That's us. Then we're made to drink that one Spirit. You better know there's something so powerful about the water. Because the revelation of John is he put life in the water. And when you go in there and you come up out of it, you are never not in the name of your Father. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God. As many as believe on his name, that's authority. He gave them the authority to become sons of God. How? As many of them as believe on his name. They were begotten not by will of men, desire of man, but by the will of the Father. I want you to think about that, my friend. That when you talk about who our daddy is, the one that was in the beginning. The one that was in the beginning. That same one that decided, I got to put flesh on, veil myself in flesh. The same one is who we are, literally born of water and of Spirit. We're baptized. But John says, I'm talking about the name. And so when I talk about the Holy Ghost, I'm only talking about revealing the name. He said, the Holy Ghost in my name. He is going to be a Spirit of truth. And he is going to show you stuff to come. He is going to show you what is mine. He is going to talk about me. Everything John says about the Holy Ghost is a revelation of the name. Because he's saying at the end. I want you to think about that. This is 90 AD almost. And the most important thing to God is you better get a revelation of the name.
of Jesus Christ. That's the I am. That's the one that cannot be named, because he's whatever he needs to be, whenever he needs to be, whatever he needs to be. But it's all bottled down for us into a name that we can call on. And we know when I say Jesus Christ, and we pray in that name. But there is another place in that where we walk in it. Where you do not say. This is the difference between Peter and Paul. Simon Peter says, "Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ." Paul says, "Stand up." That's the difference between you just got something, using it for the first time, and somebody that says that for 3 years, I got the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I didn't receive it from man. I received it from him. Stand up. Boom, that man stands up. That's the difference, because you're in it. Just like he said, I come in my Father's name. You're walking in it. And so if you don't have oil, you don't need it. If you don't have somebody to help you, you don't need somebody to help you, because you're walking in the name. And so anything that you come face to face with, the name is enough. You tell me what it is. You tell me what it is. My goodness. And that's what I want us to do. Because Simon Peter's awesome. But I think the hero of John is Andrew. And that's the one that says, once I know who you are, I refuse to label anything. All right. I bring it to you. Yeah. You tell me. All right. First, Simon. Uh-huh. Thou art Peter. All right. I knew it. Something. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. What are they? Enough. Think about that. What do we do with these Greeks who are after Jesus? It's time. Boom. And he says, my hour has come. That's the only time he said that. Not when Mary said it to him, they need wine, when he brought the Greeks to him. And it's all right, now it's time to be king of the world. When it can't be quieted anymore. When the world's coming for me. It's time for me to be lifted up so all men can be drawn unto me. I want somebody in this room to bring something to Christ Jesus and say, you tell me what it is. You tell me what it is. Koto Barabbas. Go like that, a circle around you, a little circle, go like that. Every bit of what you're standing in is the name of Jesus Christ. That's a name that can't die. It's a name that cannot die. That's a name that's literally, I am resurrection. Bring me to death. It's in the name. Resurrection! You got dead lives, dead people, dead relationships, dead hopes. Resurrection. I am. The Bible said that hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, that doesn't mean I've been hoping for something and it's not happened. It means I'm holding off on hoping, period. I'm holding off on hoping, period. And I say it's time to quit deferring hope. Faith. The evidence of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Somebody in this building, start getting your hope up. Why? Because you're in Jesus Christ. You're in Jesus Christ. That's a name above every name. Bring that name to him and say, what is it? What is it? My disease, what is it? My situation, what is it? My fear. Bring it to him. Bring your past to him. Bring your situation to him where you don't got enough. It's insufficient. You don't have enough to meet the need. Bring it to the name and watch what happens. Mike, he said, we saw somebody casting out devils in your name. Well, how can that be since I'm here and they're over there? It worked, obviously, because they said, stop it. Some nondescript person casting devils out in his name. But Jesus is here. How does he not know about it? What are you talking about, casting out devils in his name when he's been with you? Because the name is more than a fleshly person can ever contain. That's why he was getting ready to explode. It's time. It's my hour of glory. Do it fast. He said, do it quick. He said, what you're going to go do, do it. He said, I'm ready to get it on right now. Can you believe a God like that who would come to us and we would be born in that glorious name? Not who we were, brand spanking new. Literally, brand new creations and all power, all authority, all. There's no room for government. There is no room for disease. So you, your pastor is done. We believe that Jesus Christ is King, not coronavirus. COVID. What kind of a name is that? Oh, yes, the name is not above every name. So we bring it, whatever symptoms. What is it? What is it? We look at situations in our world. And we say, what is it? Because he might say, the end time. We bring it to him and just believe. Maybe he doesn't want us to pray anything about it. What is it? Think about that. What if he's getting glorified? In situations where I'm rebuking. I just take for granted I know what I'm doing. And I'm acting in my flesh going. And Andrew's going. Got a kid here with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. How are you going to reproduce fish? That's a DNA thing. You're recreating DNA. He goes, what is it? So I say in the name of Jesus Christ, there is nothing that you're not ready for. There's nothing you're not greater than. Who are you? I am. I am. I am. Don't limit him to New Testament. For Abraham was, I am. You got to go all the way through this whole Bible to find Jesus Christ. He's beyond our reach to span his depth. You'll never, ever go high enough, deep enough, wide enough, and get the measurement. He said, but I want you to try it. I want you to do what? Get in it. Get in it. Get in the depth of it. Remember Hildebrand said you got to be in it to get the depth? That's when you're walking in that name going, woo. I now do believe that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Why? Because I'm in it. It's a name. It's a person. It's an identity. Yes. And I believe that Jesus Christ was made for such a time as this to be magnified, for you to lay hands on the sick, for you to be the answer to the climate that we're in.
Close your eyes if you would.
I show you my power. I show you my strength. But if you will follow me, call upon me, I have yet more to show you. More that I desire to display for you. My power, my spirit, my name. Follow after me. Call upon me. I will show you. I will show you even more. Call on me. Believe my word.
Call that name now. Claim that right now. The half is yet to be told. He's magnifying himself. He's manifesting that call on that name right now. Jesus Christ.